This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa tabi'in. Wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire household, all his companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them all and bless every single one of us. My brothers and sisters, yesterday we ended off with the speech about the prohibition of alcohol. And we made mention of how as soon as the verses, فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ, will you not then quit? Will you not then stop? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum immediately said, we have stopped. So much so that Abu Talha, at his place where the people were drinking and he had a large stock of alcohol, he had actually instructed that it be poured out, and the streets or the gullies of Medina were actually flowing with this haram product because it was made prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We start off with verse number 100 of the same surah, Suratul Ma'idah, a narration made mention by Al-Wahidi from Jabir radiallahu anhu. He says, when alcohol was prohibited, a Bedouin man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, O Messenger, I was a man whose business was buying and selling this alcohol. I was a person who used to sell. I have large stocks of it remaining. Think carefully. I have large stocks of this haram remaining. Now, I have a plan. And that plan is, let me sell it and I will spend all the money in the path of Allah. I will spend all the money in a good deed. It reminds me of people who've asked me, can't we just participate in the lotto? If I win, I'll build a masjid. May Allah forgive us. Lottery is haram. Remember this. You cannot participate in haram with a halal intention. The two do not go together. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. May He protect us. So this man's question, according to him, was legitimate. He says, look, I have a lot of it. Instead of throwing it away, let me sell it to those who want to buy it, and then I will use the money for a good cause. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses. قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Say that evil and good are not equal. Even if it amuses you how rampant or how much the evil is in terms of comparison to the good. So be conscious of Allah, O you who believe, in order that you may achieve success. What this means is, today on the globe, and the lesson is for us all, obviously the reason of revelation is one, but the lesson is for everyone. You might see a lot of people engaging in evil in the name of goodness. No matter how rampant adultery is or pornography, it remains evil. Even though you may be amused by how many people participate in it, it will remain haram. People who do haram, who consume interest and usury, it will remain haram even if the whole globe is consuming it. So no matter whether the globe is doing it or not, what's halal and haram is a separate matter. It's got nothing to do with whether people are doing it. It's got to do with whether Allah has instructed it. And this is why in the same narration, the Prophet ﷺ tells the man, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا الطَّيِّبِ. Allah is pure. He does not accept anything but that which is pure. So you want to give for Allah, give that which is good, give that which is pure. Before I proceed to the next verse, let me tell you, if you do have possession of that which happens to be haram, but in itself, it's not actually najisul ayn. Najisul ayn means dirty and impure on its own. If it is swine, alcohol or pork, something of that nature, you can do nothing with it besides throwing it away. That's the only way out. But if it is, for example, money that you have got in your hand, and say, for example, you need to offset it because it happens to be usury, you've made tawbah, the reality is, rather than throwing it in the bin, you've got to offset it without an intention of a reward for the charity, rather just to help perhaps a poor Muslim who might be suffering and struggling. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us an understanding. The difference between the two is, I've got an amount and I intend to be rewarded for the amount. That's a charity. But I have an amount. The only reward I want is the fact that I have gotten rid of it, but I don't want a reward for that charity. I don't score points with it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us understand the difference between throwing away that which is completely najis and dirty and getting rid of something which may not be dirty on its own, but the way we perhaps earned it might not have been that grand. May Allah forgive us. Verse number 101 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Hadith Sunan At-Tirmidhi, Musnad Al-Imam Ahmad, narrated by Ali radiallahu anhu, he says, when the verses of Hajj were revealed, you and I know that Allah has made Hajj one of the pillars of Islam. There are five pillars of Islam. One of them is Hajj. But that Hajj is connected to your wealth as well as your person, your physical body as well as your wealth. Some of the pillars are only connected to your physical person. The others are connected to your wealth, such as zakah. Hajj is one connected to both of them. But Allah has said you only have to go for Hajj if you can afford it. You can manage. You cannot afford it, you don't have to go. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. The verses were revealed. Indeed, Allah has prescribed, or it is upon you to engage in the pilgrimage for the sake of Allah, those who are able and capable to undertake the journey. So a man gets up, or a group of men get up. One narration makes mention of the name Al-Aqra' ibn Habis radiallahu anhu. He had accepted Islam and he became a very good Muslim. Initially he was not very keen on Islam, and initially he had harmed Islam a little bit, but mashallah he became a Muslim. He asks the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a powerful question. They went for Hajj, right? And he says, أَفِي كُلِّ عَامٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. This is farad, right? Is it every year, O Messenger, or only this time? The Prophet ﷺ was quiet, silent. The reason is, revelation comes, revelation makes things clear. Stop jumping the gun to ask questions. The Prophet ﷺ later said, لَوْ قُلْتُ نَعَمْ لَوَجَبَتْ. If I had said yes, it would have been compulsory on everyone who afforded Hajj every year to go and participate in the Hajj. Imagine how many billions would be there this year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Allahu Akbar. It is only farad once in a lifetime. So verses were revealed. Number 101 of Surah Al-Ma'idah.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ إِن تُبْدَ لَكُمْ تَسُؤْكُمْ وَإِن تَسْأَلُوا عَنْهَا حِينَ يُنَزَّلُ الْقُرْآنُ تُبْدَ لَكُمْ.
O you who believe, do not ask questions that, if they are made clear to you on the spur, they perhaps might be harmful for you. They might be detrimental for you. When the revelation comes down, it will be made clear for you. The revelation came down and made it clear. This verse, actually there's more than one reason of revelation. Another reason of revelation made mention in some of the books of Asbabun Nuzul, such as the book of Al-Imam As-Suyuti, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, where he says people were asking silly questions to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because they knew revelation used to come to him. So one man came to him and said, what's my father's name? And so on. These are silly questions you want to ask the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, the answer came, but this verse was revealed that be careful, you might just get an answer that will shock you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah bless us all. My brothers and sisters, we move on to Surah Al-An'am, the surah named after the cattle. And a lot of it has got to do with food. But I'd like to tell you, a lot of Surah Al-An'am, you will notice, has to do with the stubbornness of the people of Quraysh. They were very stubborn. When the signs came to them, a lot of them rejected. And you know, when someone does not want to accept the truth, no matter how clear it is, they will find an excuse. They will find an answer. They will give you something. I just don't want to listen to you. It reminds us of a little child. If they don't want to do something, no matter how much you trick them, no matter how much you try, they keep on saying, I don't want, in different ways. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, grant us a great understanding. So the first is a narration mentioned in Al-Mustadrak of Al-Imam Hakim, by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He says, Abu Talib was a strange man. Abu Talib was the uncle of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to go to the people of Quraysh and he used to stop them from harming the Muslims, from harming Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from talking bad about Islam. But guess what? Himself, he wasn't a Muslim. Himself, he didn't accept the message. So Allah says, وَهُمْ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ وَيَنْأَوْنَ عَنْهُ وَإِنْ يُهْلِكُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Verse number 26 of Surah Al-An'am. Allah says, they are the ones who are stopping people from talking bad about or from harming Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or Islam, and they themselves have turned away from him or from the message. Allah says, if they only knew, they are harming themselves without even knowing. Amazing, what a message. And up to this day, you find some of the non-Muslims, they respect the Muslims, they might defend the Muslims, they might even defend some of the beliefs of the Muslims. But if Allah doesn't give guidance, remember one thing, it will not come. May Allah grant us guidance. This is why, brothers and sisters, the most powerful dua that is repeated by the Muslims, the most, more than any other dua, do you know what it is? اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Guide us to the straight path. Have you ever thought of it? It is the most powerful dua. It is the only dua that you are making in Surah Al-Fatiha. And that Surah Al-Fatiha has to be repeated so many times a day, compulsorily, for every single believer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us guidance. We learn a lesson from this beautiful verse and its reason of revelation. When we defend, let us also be a part of what we are defending. Alhamdulillah. Verse number 33 of Surah Al-An'am. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of something again that was happening to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi reported by Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. He says, Abu Jahl and the others, they used to speak a lot about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They knew he was known as As-Sadiq al-Amin. He was the honest and trustworthy. They knew it. But do you know what they used to say? He's after money. He's after position. He's after women. He's after status. He is a madman. He is a magician. He is a poet. And wallahi, every accusation in the book, they leveled against him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The innocent, the best of creation. Look at what they said about him. So if people talk about you and I today, calling us after money, after women, after position, after power, madman, magician, wallahi, thank Allah. Thank Allah that he's allowing you to taste a little bit of what he allowed his most beloved to taste. Perhaps he loves you somehow. Allahu Akbar. You need to have a positive attitude to the statements of people that may be negative. We are mu'mineen. There can be nothing negative in the life of a mu'min. The hadith says, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ فَإِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ. The affairs of a true believer are strange. All of them can only be good. Amazing. When goodness happens to him, he's thankful. That's good for him. When something bad happens to him, he bears sabr. Sabr is good for him. Subhanallah. Allah becomes closer to the person who bears sabr. So when Allah wants you to get closer to him, he actually introduces sabr into your life by inflicting you with something you might consider negative. Nay, if you're a true believer, it's never negative. So they began to say statements. They used to hurt Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's heart. Why was he hurt? He used to say, oh Allah, I am the messenger. You have placed a responsibility on my shoulder. Here I am trying to deliver the message. Look at the statements these people are uttering. Allah says, verse number 33, قَدَ نَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُ لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ. We know, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it is hurting you, the statements that they are uttering. They are hurting you. But Abu Jahl comes to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know what he says? He says, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, we do not belie you. We know you're a truthful man. But we belie the message you've come with. Come on. We know you're a truthful man, but this Quran you came with is a lie. So Allah says, فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. Let us inform you, O Muhammad. They do not belie you. They know you are truthful. But the oppressors, the arrogant, those who are wrongdoers, they are denying the verses of Allah out of absolute and total arrogance. When a man is haughty, proud, arrogant, he knows he's wrong. What does he say? No ways, not me. No ways, it wasn't me. Not me at all. And he makes sure that his name comes out clear, no matter how guilty he is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. What a beautiful lesson we learn from. Look at the stubbornness of the people of Quraysh. I hope we are not stubborn when it comes to accepting the truth, my brothers and sisters, no matter where it comes from. Someone younger than you, someone from a different race, different gender, no matter who it is. Someone who works for you, someone perhaps who might be above you, below you in terms of status, no problem. If it is right, it's right. Then verse number 52, it has a very, very interesting, again, everything is interesting here because it is revelation from the heavens. There were these cronies of Quraysh, the rich people. They had a problem. It is reported that Al-Aqra ibn Habis, I made mention of him earlier, before he was a Muslim, him and one of his friends had come to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and another narration makes mention of different names. The narration is in Sahih Muslim, Sunan al-Nasa'i, and reported also by Ibn Majah, hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu. He says, six of the people who were considered poor, some of them former slaves, they used to constantly be around Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seeking knowledge around him, wanting to know things and so on. Who were these? Ammar ibn Yasir, Al-Miqdad ibn Al-Aswad, Bilal ibn Rabah radiyallahu anhu, Suhayb ibn Sinan al-Rumi, as well as Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. Some of the narrations make mention of Khabbab ibn al-Arat, and some say Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu, the narrator of the hadith himself. So 6-7 of these people. The cronies of Quraysh came to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, look, we don't mind accepting. We want to sit with you. We want to listen. We really want to agree with you. But we've got one major problem. The people will see us sitting with these poor people who were our slaves yesterday. Today we must sit in the same group with them listening to you. We want a Lani's moment, you know. We want a moment where only the rich and the famous sit around you, and that's it. The poor people must not mix with you. We want you to dedicate a totally separate time for us and for us alone, no one else. So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is listening to the statement. Okay, these people are ready to accept. Obviously that was something big. They're ready to accept, but they've got one little clause. Now if you think of it carefully, perhaps someone might think for a moment that what I'm gaining here is these people are coming into Islam. But guess what? Jibreel alayhi salam comes to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam with verses clarifying it forever.
وَلَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ.
Do not chase away those people who call out to Allah by morning and evening, wanting the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never ever chase them away. Not at all. Verse number 52 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Allah says,
مَا عَلَيْكَ مِنْ حِسَابِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ وَمَا مِنْ حِسَابِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَتَطْرُدَهُمْ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ.
You are not responsible for their account. They are not responsible for your account. How can you then chase them away? You will be an oppressor if you do so. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues. Later on, in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَكَذَلِكَ فَتَنَّا بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لِيَقُولُوا أَهَا أُولَاءِ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ بَيْنِنَا أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَعْلَمَ بِالشَّاكِرِينَ.
This is how Allah has tested some with others. For some of them to say, how can Allah guide those and not us? Why did Allah guide those people? Why are those people close to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Brothers and sisters, do not be embarrassed to fulfill your duty unto Allah. Even when you enter the masjid and you find the poorest of the poor in the first lines, you need to make an effort to get into those first lines. It will still remain an act of merit. Don't think the poor are sitting in the front, so let the rich sit at the back. Not at all. Remember, it's a test for you to think to yourself for a moment that if these people are poor and they're sitting here, let me not sit. That is your failure. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. When we go to Jannah, perhaps the poor might be entering earlier than those who are wealthy for this very reason. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a deep understanding. So thereafter, Al-Aqra ibn Habis, according to one of the narrations, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called one of the writers. And he said, okay, write. Let's see what these people want. And as they were about to write, these verses came down. So instead they wrote these verses. And these cronies were shocked because they thought, we're going to get some time. We're going to get a special place. No special place, I'm sorry. This is Islam. You want to stand in the saf of salah, the rich, the poor, the tall, the short, the black, the white, the green, the pink, everyone in one row. Subhanallah. Everyone in one row. You cannot say, I have 5 rands more, I'm going to stand one step ahead. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May He grant us humbleness and humility. May He make us love one another for His sake. Ameen. Listen to the last part of revelation in this regard. Who were these people? The poor. The next verse, Allah says,
وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا.
O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when these believers in our verses come to you, فَقُلْ, we want you to say to them,
Salamun alaykum.
Greet them with peace be upon you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, all praise is due to Allah, who created from my ummah a group of people whom He instructed me to start off by greeting them.
So it's reported when he used to see these poor people, he used to go out of his way to say assalamu alaikum, because he knew Allah instructed me, give these people more importance. Allahu Akbar. Look at how the bad belief of the people of Quraysh was turned totally upside down by Islam. You want it, take it. You don't want it, there's the door. That's what Islam said. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. What justice in this beautiful faith, Islam. It is a faith that has abolished racism. Sadly, we find it rearing its ugly head in our hearts to this day. My brothers and sisters, one of the greatest acts of worship is to chop the racism that might be rearing its head in your hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May He grant us a powerful lesson by this beautiful verse. Then we have another verse, the explanation of which is made mention of in Tafsir al-Tabari, a narration of Ikrimah. He says, there was a man known as Musaylamah al-Kadhab. He was a liar. He used to claim he was a prophet, and he claimed that revelation came to him, and he claimed that verses came to him, and he had these famous verses where he used to come up. You know, when the Imam this evening read al-Qari'atu mal-Qari'ah, so this man comes up with his own verse. He says, Al-Filu mal-Filu, wa ma adraka mal-Filu. He says, an elephant, what do you know about an elephant? It has a very long nose and it has a trunk and so on. And he came up with some weird verses. And he says, this is from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'udhu billah. Similarly, there was another man known as Abdullah ibn Sa'd ibn Abi Sarh. He used to write the verses of the Quran and change. And when he was told, why are you changing? He said, well, it's something similar. I know, it sounds good. This is better. And so on. So Allah revealed verses, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this verse number 93 of Surah Al-An'am. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنِ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. Who can they be more oppressive than the one who has introduced a lie against Allah? You know, people tell lies. Lies is very bad. الْمُؤْمِنُ لَا يَكْذِبْ. A true believer does not lie. But to lie against Allah is worse than lying about me or you or someone else. That is something dangerous. So much so, the worst lies ever. The lie against Allah and His Messenger. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man kadhaba alayya muta'ammidan falyatabawwa maq'adahu minan nar." Whoever has lied against me intentionally, they can kindle their spot in hellfire. It's already there, reserved. May Allah forgive us. Never tell a lie. Never tell a lie against Allah and His Messenger. So Allah says, "Who is there more oppressive than the one who lies against Allah?"
أو قال أوحي إلي ولم يوحى إلي شيء.
Or the one who says revelation came to me and no revelation came to him. مسيلمة الكذاب.
ومن قال سأنزل مثل ما أنزل الله.
Or similar to the one who said, I will come with revelation close to that which Allah has brought. Or similar to Allah's revelation. Abdullah ibn Sa'd ibn Abi Sarh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from falsehood. Remember, the Quran is powerful. Let us learn it, understand it, put it into practice. It will lead us to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we will become true believers. Ameen. Brothers and sisters, the next verse, verse number 94. Also Tafsir al-Tabari, also Ikrimah. Rahmatullahi alayhi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, there was a man known as An-Nadr ibn al-Harith. He was a man from Quraysh. He used to say, you know, they didn't believe in the hereafter. But somehow they knew. You know, I've spoken to atheists. I remember one very clearly. He tells me, you know what? You people are very bad. I said, why? He's an atheist. He doesn't believe in anything. He says, because you believe we're going to hellfire. I said, but hang on. It doesn't make sense because you don't believe in hellfire. So why are you worried? It shows that there is a worry. When they become old, they don't really know where they are going. Honestly speaking, they have a big doubt in their minds. That doubt is never cleared. Never ever cleared. Because they know, I'm going. Where will I go? No one has come back to tell me where they've been. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an understanding. So this man, Nadr ibn al-Harith, he used to say, look, I'm worshipping Allah and Al-Uzza. Those are little gods besides Allah which they had, idols. So you know what he said? He said, I know on the day of judgment, they will come, these two things, these two gods, and they will intercede on my behalf.
Look at how he is. It's like how people worship other people today and they say, these will intercede on our behalf. Same thing. People worship stones and sticks and tombs and so on and they say, these will intercede on our behalf. Let's listen to what Allah says. Go and read the verse back at home if you would like to learn a lesson from it. Verse number 94 of Surah Al-An'am. It is a powerful verse. Allah speaks of when He resurrects the people. What will He tell them?
وَلَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادَا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ.
And indeed, when you have come to us singularly, just like when we created you for the first time, you were alone, one, all alone. When you come to us, you will be absolutely alone.
وَتَرَكْتُمْ مَا خَوَّلْنَاكُمْ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِكُمْ.
All the company we gave you, you left it behind you. Your parents, your children, your brothers, your sisters, your wealth and everything else left behind. Who is here? Just you in front of us. This is Allah describing our condition on the day of judgment. In fact, in this verse, the condition of those who used to worship gods besides Allah. Allah says, look, you've come to us alone. Do you know what He says?
وَمَا نَرَى مَعَكُمْ شُفَعَاءَكُمُ الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّهُمْ فِيكُمْ شُرَكَاءَ لَقَدْ تَقَطَّعَ بَيْنَكُمْ وَضَلَّ عَنْكُمْ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَزْعُمُونَ.
We do not see a single one of those whom you used to claim will intercede on your behalf. Where are they? Allah is saying they're not here. We do not see anyone whom you used to claim will intercede on your behalf. Indeed, it has been cut. The link between you and them has been absolutely cut. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Your best bet is to earn the intercession of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For indeed, that is haqq. This is why after Adhan, we are taught to ask for the intercession of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For indeed, he has said that I have been granted an intercession by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the members of my ummah who are meant to be going into hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly grant us the intercession of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But my brothers and sisters, in order to qualify for that, you need to worship Allah alone and you need to follow the footsteps of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as best as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from every form of association of partnership with Him. Ameen. Verse number 109. Again, Tafsir al-Tabari. Narration of Muhammad ibn Ka'b. He says that Quraysh told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was part of their stubbornness, Musa alayhi salam, you told us he had a stick that came and it was a big sign. You know, the stick of Moses. Isa alayhi salam, you told us that he gave life to the dead by the power of Allah. Thamud, you told us about the camel that was so great and grand. What about you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This was the question. He says, what do you want me to come with? They said, this mountain of Safa, we want you to convert it into gold. And then we will believe. Look at this. Mountain of Safa, we want you to convert it into gold and then we will believe. So Jibreel alayhi salam comes to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have two options here for these people. We convert this mount of Safa into gold here and now. Whoever denies the sign thereafter, we destroy them. That's number one. Number two is, we leave it and we give them another chance with different signs elsewhere and at other times, you know, the splitting of the moon and whatever else came later on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says through Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam that we will leave them, because if that is the case, we give them a bit of respite. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so concerned and so worried. And he said, let us leave it for later, because I fear that even if they see these signs, they will not accept them. And if they don't accept them, and the option is that they will be destroyed, we will be left with no one. This is why in Islam, my brothers and sisters, let's not be fooled by what people are doing today in the name of Islam. Going about killing anyone and everyone, saying these are non-Muslims, these we differ with them in opinion, these perhaps belong to this sect and that sect. No. In Islam, the duty is to convey the message up to the point of death. You keep on conveying the message, whoever accepts, alhamdulillah. Whoever doesn't, you have conveyed the message, alhamdulillah. Ma alayna illa al-balagh. Our duty is to convey the message. Look at Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had an option of eradicating these mushriks who were harming him. What did he say? He said, no, give them a chance. Give them a chance. So Allah revealed verse number 109 of Surah Al-An'am.
وَأَقْسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ جَهْدَ أَيْمَانِهِمْ لَإِن جَاءَتْهُمْ آيَةٌ لَيُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهَا.
They are taking oaths. They are taking oaths in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if this sign comes to us, we will definitely believe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says later on,
وَمَا يُشْعِرُكُمْ.
How do you know?
أَنَّهَا إِذَا جَاءَتْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ.
If the sign comes, perhaps they may deny it. They are quick to tell you, if it comes, we'll accept it. When it comes, they may turn away. These are the kuffar of Quraysh. They were stubborn. And Allah says,
وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ.
Allah is telling us about those kuffar of Quraysh that wallahi, even if we had to send down the angels, or we had to resurrect the dead, or we had to bring forth everything that happened to pass away aforetime in order to convince them, they will not accept the message except if Allah wills. These people are very stubborn. Like I said earlier, may Allah protect us from stubbornness. Brothers and sisters, in our homes, sometimes we are so stubborn. The solution to a problem is one split second away. You just have to give your stubbornness up for a moment and your home will be the most peaceful home on earth. But no, dad says no, it's over. Umam says no, or whoever else says no, and that's it. Or we're sticking on to that. We are not talking of halal and haram. No one is asking us to compromise on the obligations that Allah has placed on our shoulders. But what we are saying, that which is okay, it's permissible. I can either enter from this side or that side. Come on, big deal. Why is it that we need to destroy our home just because we want everything our way? Like they say, my way or highway. And this, the N1 is right out the road here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. I want to end with the one verse. Verse number 118. All the way up to verse number 121 of Surah Al-An'am. Tomorrow inshallah we'll move to another surah. Sunan Abi Dawood, as well as Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Sunan al-Nasa'i, narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says the kuffar of Quraysh, they had an issue with the sacrificial animals. You know halal and haram? We need to cut halal, isn't it? The food is halal. It means it is sacrificed correctly, it is slaughtered properly, the name of Allah is mentioned, the permission of Allah, the method of Allah is definitely invoked and it is taken because Allah is the giver of life. To that animal, we have no right to take the life away except by the permission of the giver of that life. So we will say Bismillah, we will do it in a specific way. And for your information, the original teachings of the Jews and the Christians are exactly the same as the Muslims when it comes to consumption and halal and haram. But sadly, over time, this type of sacrifice and slaughter has been changed by all parties. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us restore law and order in this regard. My brothers and sisters, so they asked him a question. Look at the question. They said, if an animal dies, who killed it? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah took it away. So they said, think for a moment, if Allah takes the life away, you're telling us the meat is haram. And if you cut it, or if a dog happens to catch it, you know, one of those hunting dogs, or a hunting eagle happens to take it, then you are telling us that it's permissible. And if Allah takes it, you're saying it's not. Look at the psycho they're trying to use. A dead animal. They used to want to sell things by hook or crook. You have a dead animal, like what they do in some countries. They say, no, bring it. No one's going to know it's dead. Let's sell the meat. Astaghfirullah. May Allah forgive us. We are not permitted to eat that which is dead. Carrion. Carrion is totally haram. But these people, they wanted it because they knew animal died. We cannot suffer that loss. We can't. So they went saying to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, well, this one, how can it be prohibited when Allah took the life away? The other one, you took the life away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses number 118 of Surah Al-An'am, all the way up to 121, starting off with فَكُلُوا مِمَّا ذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ إِن كُنتُم بِآيَاتِهِ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Eat that only which the name of Allah has been made mention upon, if you truly believe in Allah. And the verses continue, a great detail of halal and haram and so on. We won't go into all that, but it was a very, very interesting narration. And taking a look at this illogical logic, according to them, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us pure food. May He make us all happy. May He grant us Jannah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.